I just happened to bump into him. He literally, Lon Holbrook and people were there. He literally was on his way down. They were all sitting there.
Yeah.
And this was just on his way down.
That's great.
To the Joint Legislative Assembly.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Okay. That's wonderful. Old legislative stuff from the 70s. Oh, my God. Ted Halleck and all these people. With the most infamous set of minutes ever taken that I took. They don't take minutes anymore. In the 77 Senate Human Resources Committee, where I was a wise-ass law student, and I put in everything, including people storming out, you know, sarcastic asides, everything else. Well, Earl Blumenauer and at least one other person, Ted Halleck, Earl Blumenauer and Ted Halleck said, instructed me, pull the juiciest bits from your minutes, all the juiciest bits, and put them together because we want a copy, which I didn't. And that's
great.
Old stuff, but oh my God, there are corkers in there, but nothing. I mean, you know, it's just that's it. The private life of the Human Resources Committee, and it's all in the official state archives, you see. But yeah. I just pulled the juiciest bits out, like Senate Bill 35. Senator Halleck asked Mr. Kuffner of the dental board whether dentists should be subjected to capital punishment. And I put it in because, you know, it's great stuff if you actually listen to it.
This is wonderful stuff.
Oh, God. Yeah, it became extremely notorious. I should make that electronic. You're welcome to, you know, keep any of this. It's not your central mission, but this
context,
is...
Context.
This is my file. I was staff in the 77 and 79 legislative sessions.
Yeah.
Senate Human Resources, and then I was administrator of the Senate Housing Committee. This is all from my friend Ted Halleck, the late Ted Halleck. And so this is my compilation of 77, 79 legislature. Vic may be in there someplace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a period. If you're looking at that period, at least on the Senate side, there's stuff there. You're most welcome.
No, absolutely. The context is really important.
Context is everything.
And it's, you know, he basically said, especially for the first term, that he was the governor he was because of his 20 years in the legislature. So the more we have on that,
the
better.
I completely forgot I'd build this. Oh my God, it was a bet not only with my actor, but I also bet Ted Halleck he wouldn't do it. And I billed Ted when he did it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that was in there. I sent a bill to Ted Halleck when Vic read the Shakespeare. I said, you paid me $5 because you, along with my actor friend, said he wouldn't do it, but he did.
Yeah.
Pay up.
That's great.
So leave this. I don't know if you'll find any pearls in here, but...
Yeah.
There's a lot of nonsense, which is what board readies do when they got nothing better to do.
Exactly.
Okay, so I just want to sort of say what's here. Okay, and, you know, I should be this organized in the rest of my life, but I'm not. Okay, so this is chronological. April, May, June, 83.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that's at the end.
That's
the end.
You were...
Here we go. Okay. Number one, here it is.
Okay.
April 82, here we go. September, October 82. I don't know how the mouse got in.
Well, yeah.
But it happens. You can probably scroll through this, or any of these, and see Vic's own notes on some of these. Because I just...
Oh, great.
I grabbed them.
Because we have a bunch of that he kept, but he didn't keep a universal... I don't think he kept a universal collection of his speeches.
Well, this is about... For this particular period, this is as close to chronological as you will ever get.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that might be his writing.
Oh, cool. He wrote for Dolores, too.
Is that his writing? These are his notes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I... Because this is in religiously chronological order.
Yeah.
And I went with him to some of these speeches. A lot of them is ham and eggs, Red Lion, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If I went with him, I would make notes on what he said and what he didn't. I gave him enough to work with.
Right.
And he would just go.
He'd pick and choose. Yeah,
he'd pick and choose. So you will find chronological order.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Second gubernatorial debate prepared text. Okay. So,
that's great.
There you go. That's April through October, mm-hmm. and then you have it. So that's
Cron. Yeah.
Those are the Cron files, my Cron files, and there's, I know for a fact there are originals in there in the sense of in blue ink, his handwriting.
Right, right.
And I have said from the beginning, I ought not to have those.
So now, is there...
Lounging around in the office.
Is there a hole between November and April?
September, October. I do not know. It may be my labeling.
Yeah, okay.
This is everything I have. You know, when I scoured in those boxes, if I have some manila files, I didn't throw stuff in. But I was pretty devout. It may just be bad labeling.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. And that's also pretty common. One of the
April, May, June, and then it jumps to September.
Well, yeah, here's April, okay. August, and then this goes great. And this ends October and begins in the next April.
Okay. So I'm going to look again and see if there's one of these missing, I will find it.
Okay.
Okay. Because maybe there's another volume that got in another box.
Yeah.
But you take these. Now, this is perhaps separate. I kept it separate because these are my files on the election campaign.
Oh, good.
These are my own files.
Right.
Now, I occupied a tricky position. I was a state-paid speechwriter. This was the campaign.
Right.
But I had to keep files on it because whatever I was doing had to be consistent with what was going on out there.
Right.
And I tried to keep the line, but it's very difficult to walk that line.
Yeah, no, it definitely is.
So
this is cool. Yeah, one of the things that I just finished working on is the sales tax.
Okay.
And one of the things, talking to Jerry,
she
said, you know, by the time the sales tax campaign got going, it wasn't my priority, and Vic didn't put his heart into it either.
I never saw him.
And so I was able to go and look at the daily schedule and say, wow, during this amount of time in 1982, because Tom Throop, was in the legislature.
Sure, yeah,
said,
absolutely.
Vic has got to be like in 82 when he took on Kulongoski. And so I just went and counted, and there's basically twice as many appearances in the 82 campaign as compared to the same amount of time before the election.
Yes, of course.
So clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely
true. And, you know, and I knew going in what would happen.
Oh, yeah.
And his starting within just a few months after I started in spring of 82, it went in full bore.
Yeah.
He was going out all the time.
Yeah.
Now, I was writing stuff for him because gubernatorial. I mean, he was talking about his record.
Right.
But I put in little tags for it. Calendar, debates. Here's the debates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I prepped these.
Yeah.
Jerry asked me to pull up all the promises he'd made from the records.
Right.
What did he promise people? How are we doing?
Right.
She said, you pull it up. I did.
Yeah.
Here's the index, 1 through 22.
Mm-hmm.
Promises he'd made. How are we doing?
Yep.
And, you know.
Yeah, that's great. That's great stuff.
What the hell is this?
BLM. Or BLM.
Ballot measures.
Ballot measures.
This is ballot measures. You know about Ted? You ever run into him, Ted Halleck?
He's
a legend.
Bumped into, you know, his stuff and people reacting to him a lot.
Oh, he is. Here's a note from the venerable senator. Don't ever, ever suck me into wagering again when there's a Boy Scout involved. You know, I mean, that's Ted Halleck all over.
I think the best story was from Ted Kulongoski talking about at some point in late 81 or early 82 when Halleck walks into a Willamette Week for some reason, and is basically saying, you know, got to get McCall in or kind of stuff.
And the stories are legion and legendary. I must have kept stuff from Kulongoski. This is the Ox file?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bunch of Halleck in there. Allegation number two. Allegation number three. Rebuttal number two.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of depth in here. I don't know how much is relevant to what you're doing, but there's a lot of stuff in here.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And this is camp, and here's
the clippings. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Fantastic.
So that's campaign.
Fantastic.
This is my own files of 77, 79 legislature. I probably with stuff here. Yeah, I mean, that was mm-hmm. when I was working for them,
mm-hmm.
Et cetera. And oh, God, yeah. This here's Ted Halleck. It's some of the stuff when I was a committee clerk, I said, I have to keep this forever. They had a hearing on licensing radiologic technologists, radiation people,
yeah.
and licensing them, the ones who were giving radiation, as they should. And so they were testifying, well, what safeguards are you going to have? What are your training? And at which point Ted Halleck passed a handwritten note to his good friend, Republican Senator George Wingard, Silent George. And I kept it and made a copy after the hearing. I couldn't give it up. It was Ted Halleck in his own handwriting. The minute he said, lead apron, my balls hurt. You know, this is, you can't buy this stuff.
Oh, I know,
You cannot buy this stuff.
Yeah.
What really goes on at the rostrum.
Yeah.
This is before internet or anything. You know, you just can't.
Vic kept every single one of those notes.
This type of thing?
Legislative sessions. So
because
59 and 61.
If you really want to know what's going on, read this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that comes out is Fadley is elected in 61.
Sure, yeah.
And so they're serving in the House together.
Yeah.
And Vic's got this thing. It's Ed Fadley being a shithead right at the beginning.
Well, yeah.
It's just, don't you ever dare to speak for me ever again. You know, that kind of thing.
Way high horse.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, way high
horse. But it's just like from the very beginning.
Well, I was on legislative staff two sessions, committee assistant, committee administrator, 77, 79, both when I was on leave from law school, then after I got out of law school. And then... And oh my God, the gossip in that building—it's just—it mm-hmm. goes forever.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see this is all Senate side,
yeah.
but if you pull out of anything here, there's all kinds of just looking at those minutes.
Yeah.
From 77. Oh my God, yeah. I wish Vic had been on that committee; it would have been hysterical. But okay, all right.
What committee was that?
Senate Human Resources.
Human Resources, okay.
Bill McCoy.
Okay.
In 1977. Okay. Devout Catholic.
Yeah.
A ton of kids. Boy, his go-rounds with Mary Wendy Roberts when she tried to get pro-choice stuff going were legion and legendary, because Bill would adjourn the meeting and gavel her down, all of which is in the minutes.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop me because I just kept...
Yeah.
Saying this is exactly
this
what happened.
What happened.
Senator Roberts stormed out of the meeting. She was not pleased. They just never read them.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, that's
wonderful. You know, you just for recreation. My cold excerpts. You'd probably like it. Now, do you want to make a copy of this?
Absolutely.
Okay. I can. I'll just the mobile. Phone. My mobile phone is when I made a copy of it was the one of Vic and me next to that second inaugural. I'll just scan it and email it to you.
Okay.
Because this would be before and after.
Yeah. I'll see if the archives are right around the corner. I'll see if they have a better way to do it. But I've got a good system right here.
That's fine. I mean, so. It's a 99-cent frame. You know.
Yeah.
Whatever. I had that in my office.
That's
great. This is. There's probably some wizards in here. This one is basically just my. My staff measure analyses in 77 and 79.
Yeah, fantastic.
And again, if you're looking for, I don't know if Vic's in any of those, but he surely must have been on some of those bills. I don't know. Once our committee shut down, they sent me over to the judiciary and stuff to crank out more of these because the administrators hated writing them.
Yeah.
And I loved writing them. I mean, as if I had anything better to do.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And I actually like to go to the hearings just to collect pearls of wisdom. I mean, just because I just love the sport.
Yeah.
Vern Duncan of Gresham.
Mm-hmm. I know Vern well.
Yeah, I was in the room with Elizabeth Betty Brown when she asked him if he could please wrap up the line of questioning because he was Vern wandering.
Mm-hmm.
No, not. Wait.
Vern Cook.
Vern Cook.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Vern Duncan had been the superintendent at that point. So.
Right. Vern Cook.
Vern Cook.
Vern Cook. Or his staff used to say Vermin Crook, which was not fair, but it was funny. It was Vern Cook, and he was going on and on and on over a really tiny point, and Betty Brown asked him if he could kind of either wrap up his line of questioning or maybe get to the point. And he said, "Well, Madam Chair, you know I can't think unless my mouth is open." And Betty Brown turned to me and said, "I was just taking minutes." Mm-hmm. Did he really say that? I said, I put it in the minutes, but that's over in judiciary. I know we're going to
come up
to
you.
So anyway, that's the stuff. So
this is fantastic.
My recommendation,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just because I drove away without my wallet, though I did, is rather than me just sit here and tell you random war stories, is maybe look through that.
Sure.
And then because, and I'll see if there's a missing volume. If there really is a hole there, then I need to find mm-hmm. where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you look through all that and then sit down and you can get specific.
Absolutely.
What happened here? Do you know any more about that? Because you, I mean, gosh, how long have you been working on this?
Hardcore for a year. And well, Meg asked me 2 years ago.
So okay. Well,
basically it was interview him until he died, and then I got a sabbatical.
Yeah. Well, and I felt, you know, I have felt until I was woken up by you on Think Out Loud or mm-hmm. OPB or something, where you mentioned the work, I said,
yeah.
Oh, crap. You know, I said, oh, my God, are you about to publish or something? Oh, that would be a
yeah.
crime. I mean, I know there's got to be stuff in there you might want. But at this point, as far along in the project as you are, you have certainly done macro sorts on things
mm-hmm.
you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly just the 82 campaign against Kulongoski is a whole chapter of which I think you'll find some, because I was the speechwriter for the whole thing and the inaugural address afterwards, and I think you'll find stuff in there you really want.
Yeah, that's great.
And
that's great.
And so my suggestion is we shouldn't spend a lot of time with me, you know, sawing wood to, you know,
mm-hmm.
ranting today. I think you might want to go through this
okay.
stuff and then arrange a time to get together, and you can then focus your, can ask me what
great.
You want to ask based on your extensive knowledge of all the rest of this, because this
mm-hmm.
is, you know, what, an 18, 19 month snapshot, but during
right.
a critical period.
Yeah. No.
During a critical period.
Yeah. During an election he didn't expect to win, although he changed his mind.
I was very aware of that. It's very interesting, almost bizarre, but it says almost everything about Vic, is that they hired liberal, knee-jerk, Reed College, flaming liberal Democrat, you know,
mm-hmm.
to write his speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Just when they were going into that election, they knew my politics.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hide it.
Yeah.
And Vic wanted good writing. In other words, it was
mm-hmm.
all quality.
Mm-hmm.
He could give a rip what my politics were.
Yeah.
I had never, not never, but it was a fairly bipartisan legislature, but still, I was as surprised as anyone when they offered me the post.
Mm-hmm.
I was a Multnomah County Democratic Precinct Committee person, you know.
Yeah.
I've been handing leaflets out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was as shocked as hell. First of all, they called me, and second of all, they interviewed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an Oregonian blind box.
Hmm.
I was out of work. I was recently
mm-hmm.
married. I was out of work. Had my fine law degree hanging in the back of a UPS van
mm-hmm.
delivering Christmas packages.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Jesus, what the hell? It was
mm-hmm.
the recession had kicked in
oh, yeah.
massively.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, man, two legislative sessions, you know, my law degree. But I did not want a private practice. I said, I'll just go take over the world. Ah, God, when I was riding a UPS truck the previous December, I said, humility started to sink in.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to practice law. But I loved the legislature. I knew I did. It's
mm-hmm.
the adrenaline rush. And so it was they came up with me. I would never have applied for that job
mm-hmm.
if Vic Atiyah's name had been on it, ever.
Yeah.
Denny might remember. They probably recruited it in various ways. Predecessor was, he was the TV guy. He was a broadcaster that had been writing speeches before. None of, few of which I looked at because I was underwhelmed. So, anyway.
Yeah.
But
an Oregonian blind box in December 1981.
Wow.
And it just said, wanted, speechwriter, familiar with Oregon state issues, good writer, readily available. And I was cruising the want ads back when there used to be some.
Yeah.
I said, well, hell, man, I had to write floor speeches for the senators, some of whom were awake, some of whom weren't, constantly in the session of legislation. 79, I had to write all their floor speeches.
Yeah.
And then I was a speechwriter for Connie McCready when she ran and lost against Frank Ivancy, the city of Portland. So I did that. So I said, oh, perfect. I wonder where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was more shocked than me about 45 days later. Hello, this is Denny Miles in the governor's office. And I did this sort of...
What are you calling me for?
I'm sorry. Are you sure you have the right number? What? I said, well, we'd like to talk to you. I sent him sample speeches and stuff, Connie McCready and all kinds of stuff. He liked it. And so I was in total shock. I had no idea it was the governor's office, ever. And I was... doing cable TV work at the time, they called me, and this stuff you won't find in here, which is why I'm telling you now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they called me down to Salem, Denny, and I think, I don't know if Dave Fiskin was there, Denny interviewed me.
Mm-hmm.
They called me down again, and Denny and Jerry both interviewed me. Mm-hmm. Okay, because that was going up the ladder.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I was such a flaming reedy, you know. Mm-hmm. I just was just not their type at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it just totally flummoxed me. But they kept going. So Denny interviewed me. We chatted. I liked Denny, actually. I think I think we both understood we actually liked each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're both garrulous and
and
stuff, and both big guys, and we just liked each other. We were laughing and stuff. So I think. Aside from politics, he felt, I can get along with it, so that's fine. He took me to see Jerry, who scared the shit out of me. Absolutely scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
She took a look at me. I remember Denny ushering me during the interview process into her office. He said, well, I needed to meet Jerry Thompson, because we need to talk to Jerry about what we're going to do with you.
Yeah.
I said, okay, usher me in his office. And she... sat on the edge of her desk and gave me a look, looked at me so piercingly.
Mm-hmm.
It was like three searchlights, the FBI, the CIA, and it's like she looked at me so piercingly from across the desk that I almost got up and said, well, you hate me, so I better go home. You know, she's scared.
Mm-hmm.
And Denny, and thank you very much. And Denny ushered me out, and he didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, Denny, it's been nice to know you. I said, this is great. I'm really honored. And I said, the fact is, anybody at my age, recently out of law school, I've been crapping around doing things, I said, should be honored to work in any governor's office. This is experience you can't buy anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to work in the office of a sitting governor and see how that feels, see what it's like.
Yeah.
I said, I don't have that experience. I want that experience. I said, that would be fantastic. I would totally learn stuff. What an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be crazy. Regardless of where you are in the scale, and Oregon was pretty bipartisan in those days, and was not anymore, but was then. Those guys worked with each other across the aisle all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with all parties all the time in two sessions of the legislature, and there were some Republican senators I was extremely fond of, and their families and things. And so I had no problem with bipartisanship. I'd actually learned it at the legislature. So once Denny took me in to talk to Jerry, who, as I said, scared me shitless. I probably drove home shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably told my then wife, that's the end of that. She took one look at this Reed College liberal and said, there is not a fucking chance I'm going to put anything you say in his mouth. And so,
mm-hmm.
I said, well, it was not in the far distant future, I got another call saying, "We want to talk to you again, and we'd like you to meet the governor." And I said, And so I went down, and I talked with him a couple times as a staff person, checking on bills when he was a state senator.
Yeah.
And I just remember this very, almost so calm, so almost passive, but just extremely gentlemanly, mm-hmm. nice man,
mm-hmm.
who was sparing of his words, but a very, very nice man. I had no other concept about it. So they ushered me in to the inner sanctum, and I was astonished. Even I said, "Well, if the big guy wants to talk to me, they might be semi-serious now." Mm-hmm. I said, "Oh my God!" And mm-hmm. So they ushered me in. He just had finished five other meetings, and he was sitting there, short sleeve shirt or something they all told him not to wear, and he was in there pulling on his second or third Terryton of the day.
Yeah.
And I remember being ushered in there with, you know, Jerry was there and Denny was there, and he was there. He's looking through stuff. He said, "What's this now? What's next now?" I said, "Well, Governor, I'd like to introduce you to David Olson."
Mm-hmm.
May I mention him, and give you a chance to get to know him, and vice versa. And he sort of looked at me blankly, took a puff of his Terryton, and said, "Oh, yeah, okay." And then he had apparently a stack of papers, some of my speeches and stuff mm-hmm. from the legislature. The stuff I'd sent him as writing samples,
mm-hmm.
and I sat very politely. I think I was wearing that suit,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, with my income, that was the suit.
Right.
And I said, and he looked down, and the smoke went around his head, and looked up, and looked at me. He didn't ask me anything. Nothing. Looked at me. Looked at Jerry. Looked at Denny. Looked at me again. Looked down and said, hardly any eye contact. And he said, "Well," he said, turning to Jerry and Denny, he said, "I have no objection." I said, "Huh? Oh, okay." He said, "I have no objection." And they both got up, said, "Thank you very much, Governor." And Danny pushed me out of there, and I was going through this, "What just happened?"
thing. Mm-hmm.
And Danny whispered me and said, "Dad, I don't know if you recognize it, but that was a job offer." I said, "It was?" He said, "Yeah. Yeah, you just got a job offer." I said, "Huh, really? I did not recognize it, but hey, I'm fine. Yes, I'd like." Anyway, but that was the job offer.
Right.
The job offer was, "I have no objection," next to me. A wonderful dramatic moment.
Yeah,
the governor.
That's great.
One other one was, we remember this, we talked about it, and it was probably one of the things I was most proudest of, and the staff was really proud of, and that's rating safe
mm-hmm.
at the special session.
Mm-hmm.
Was that fall 82? I'd have to look it up. Okay.
Yeah.
His special session speech.
Yeah.
Because LBJ had been driving him crazy. I mean, everybody was just on his case. The Republicans were, because there was going to be a raid on. Or I think LBJ told him to raid safe, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I'd have to look it up. But, and he wasn't. He didn't want to raise taxes, but he had. You know, he didn't want the whole social structure to crater. He really cared about it, and he was getting it from all sides on what he should do. Had constitutionally required to have a balanced budget, and so I wrote some drafts, and he kept wanting me to sharpen them up. And at this point, he'd been before that special session. He was losing sleep. Yeah, that's how upset he was. Mm-hmm. He was losing sleep. And the night before the special session, been going round and round on the speech, and the staff said, "Just, you know, really punch it up." I said, "Oh, I'm happy to. I love it when he does that."
Mm-hmm.
I always tell him, "You need to just put a little more energy on it, you know?"
Yeah, a little Shakespeare.
Yeah, I know. I said, "God, I give you all those fancy words you take out, but why don't you, you know, mm-hmm. go lean into it." You know, and I'm old thespian, so I said, "Come on, you can do this, you know." And so that night, as I have it, he slept not at all or hardly. So he went and gave the special session speech on almost no sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And the very rare thing that almost never happened with him, he was pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
He was really pissed off at all the flack he was taking from his own party, from some people who backed him and were now criticizing him for raiding safe and mm-hmm. doing this stuff. And it was the best public speech, in my opinion, he's ever given.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely wowed him because he was pissed off. He had all kinds of manic energy having been sleep deprived. And the whole essence of the speech, I mean, I'd have to look at it to remember the details, was what else do you want to do? What else are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are you going to do? This is what I've got. If you got something else, put it up. But you don't.
Mm-hmm.
None of you guys have anything. You got nothing. You got nothing to give. You got nothing to tell me. This is what I've got. You got something else, put it out. And we did it in groups of three, which Jerry liked. Did it. And then the third one, the punchline, you know. And, mm-hmm. and he said, I looked at this. You guys have come up with flat-ass nothing. And I need you to do this. So shut up and do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been so direct before or since.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was, as far as I was concerned, one of his best moments as a speaker. And staff afterwards, Jerry and Denny said, I get what we need to do. We just need to deprive him of sleep the night before an important speech. Just irritate him, bug him, call him right. in the middle of the mm-hmm. night, and just sleep deprive the man.
Yeah.
And he'll get mad,
yeah.
and then he'll go after it. So everyone said, oh, my God, it was just the best speech. So I heard Jerry and Denny saying, okay, next time there's a big one in the campaign, just make sure he's sleep deprived. And then irritate him.
Yeah.
Just irritate with what Ted last said. That'll piss him off.
Yeah.
And so they said, just piss him off and sleep deprive him. You're going to have a great speech. You know.
That's wonderful.
Anyway, I remember it well. And
that'll go well together. There's a story from the 78 campaign.
Yeah. yeah.
His nephew was his driver for the primary.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
His nephew then was replaced by Paul Phillips.
Oh, yeah, Paul.
Because Dolores didn't like the nephew. He never tucked his shirt in and all that kind of stuff. But in any case, the nephew had him late. Because Vic was talking to people.
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't find a parking place
yeah,
and all this
excuse.
Stuff.
Always an
and so they were coming in for a rehearsal for one of the yeah. primary debates.
Yeah.
And Vic was ticked. And he went in there and he
tore it up.
Amazing.
I bet he tore it up.
He was amazing.
He
said, whatever you did,
do
we
it
need
again.
To do that.
That's exactly right. And that's what happened before the special session where they raided safe, which later got reversed, but
yeah.
he balanced the budget at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
he told Grant and Karens and Ed Fadley, I think, God, to talk about the terrible twins ever.
Mm-hmm.
He said, put up or shut up. He said, you got nothing.
Yeah.
You guys got nothing.
Yeah.
You've given me nothing. All you do is sit there
mm-hmm.
and dish at me, and you guys have nothing. You got no solution. You got no answers. Just a mouthful of screw you.
Yeah,
and he was pissed.
Yeah,
because they had done nothing except
yeah.
politicking. And I remember it well. And also, I was in a state of shock because whatever it was, it wasn't. I don't think the governor came down, made his speech. They didn't go into session right away, but the next session, maybe that afternoon, Grattan Cairns, the last person you never imagined would say such a thing, stood up, his speaker in front
mm-hmm.
of the entire house, and said, ladies and gentlemen, the governor's spoken, and we all need to do our duties here. And I know you've been concerned about all this, but the governor is as clear as I've ever heard him. This is what we need to do. Nobody'd ever heard him
mm-hmm.
say such a thing
mm-hmm.
about Vic, but he said the governor's spoken, and we need to do our duty. And I mean, that was how electrifying that speech was.
Wow.
Nobody ever heard that come out of Grant Cairns.
Yeah.
He was as political as some of the others over there, you know, but... I think even Ed Fadley shut up for a minute. It was a goddamn miracle. So, anyway.
Exactly. That's wonderful.
All right, so that's what I got. So my suggestion
yeah.
is, that's
yeah.
just a couple of things. Go through all that stuff.
Yeah.
I am going to look and see if I'm missing a file.
Okay.
If there's a hole in there. I'll just quickly look. And if you going through this see, oh, my God, I'm missing 3 months, you tell me because it's somewhere. I got
yeah.
it somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. This has been
15 household moves, 2 divorces, and all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
You know, so
exactly.
You know how it goes.
Yes, exactly.
And I think that's going to be most productive. There's
okay.
a few anecdotes for you, and you'll know more about me than you ought to or need to going through that. But the most important thing is, he's a great man. Great man. We are as opposite personalities you will ever find in the history of the world. Shakespeare, ham actor, Reed College, knee-jerk liberal, and he hired me with the famous words of hire. So I love the man. My favorite boss ever.
Wonderful. Wonderful, so, wonderful.
Entirely so. So you'll got plenty to do. I will I'll scan the before and after picture, the after picture of us both standing next to the speech here.
Fantastic.
In the library.
Fantastic.
That's the before picture.
Yeah.
And I'll scan that and send it to you, and I'll look around. But if you absolutely ascertain I'm missing a volume, please drop me a note.
I will. Absolutely.
I may look
absolutely.
For it half-heartedly, but I got 10 papers to grade. I got
you want me to get this scanned now or scan it and give it to you next time? Okay.
No, you don't need
Perfect.
A vessel for that. Just that.
Perfect.
You and your archivist may want to handle that certainly. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
Hey, you're a historian. We're in the archives. It's going to be handled.